flowery introduction so that I can compose myself. Thank you, Stephanie. He mentioned that I taught the college class, and I did. He didn't mention that I also got promoted from there to the high school class. And I consider it a promotion. I like high school kids. And kind of the time frame, I'm not good at that. I know Brother Carl Ray could say, you know, from October 4th, 1942 to blah, blah, and he had it all nailed down like this. Me, it was somewhere back there. I can look out here and see some folks who were in my high school class. I know Gary Yates dodged me. I went from the college class while he was in the high school class. The year he went to college, I went to high school. So I never got... But now, you know, Anita's a lot younger than Gary is. So she was in my class. As well as several of the others of you who are here today. I appreciate your faithfulness. Those who, as young people, were introduced to Jesus Christ and have chosen, by the good grace of God, to just be faithful to Him all the days of your life. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. It is a privilege to be here today. It's an honor. I count it a great honor every time Brother Abel's asked me to preach. We're going to be in the book of John this morning, the big book. You know, there's three little ones near the back of the New Testament, but this one's up near the front, the big book. You say, preacher, why would you say something like that? Well, the church I preached at last week, I was preaching there once, and I was in 1 John, and I said, go to 1 John. I said, now, not the big John in the front. I said, in the back near Revelation, there's three littler ones. And several of the people said, oh, now then, why? Because there were brand new babies in Christ. And they didn't know that. They weren't privileged like most of us to know about Moses and Noah. Amen. And they had just discovered Jesus Christ. Amen. And they were both thrilled and excited and soaking up the Word of God. And that's how we ought to be. And if you've been saved 5 years, you still ought to be that way. Or if you've been saved 50 or 60 years, you still ought to be that way. We're going to be in John 1, starting in chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of John. John is the book in the Bible that I recommend for beginning readers to start. If you've never read through the Bible, we all start at Genesis 1:1. Well, the best place to start is John 1:1. It will help you. It's the basics. The Bible is laid out in the New Testament, sensible. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's primers, like you would, let's say, grade school. And then from Acts through the church epistles is high school. And then the book of the Revelation is the college course. And just as we don't take someone that's 6 years old and put them in college, if you're a new Christian and just trying to figure this out, start at the beginning of the New Testament, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I like John to start with. because it gives you the very basics of the deity of Christ, yet it includes the fullness of the theology of God. And this morning in these first five verses, we're going to touch on some things that are very basic, but then some things that just still blow my mind, and I've been saved for a while. Also, if you're from a different religion, maybe you were raised in something that you decided, well, that just doesn't ring true, and you started coming to Berean. Listen, what you learn and what you decide you believe, nail it down with the Holy Word of God. If you're a new Christian, it's okay. It's perfectly proper to ask Brother Abels, Brother Abels, what about this? But then pin him down. Make him, and he will. There's no pushing him to do it. Make him nail it down with the Word of God. And he does. I had a sister-in-law who made a profession of faith. And she was from another religion and very confused about a lot of things. And she would ask me about this. I said, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. She says, you always tell me to read the Bible. The priest never told me that. Amen. We need the Bible. And as I consider this the beginning of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the place to start. So this morning, nothing new, but the most essential aspect of the Christian faith, Jesus is God. Brother Lance, as is his custom, asked me this morning what is the title for my message, and I'm not real sure what I gave him, but I know it could have been Jesus is the light of the world, Jesus is God, or something. I think I gave him something else. But it all fits. It all fits. John chapter 1, verse 1, if you'd like to stand with me as we read the Holy Word of God. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's pray. Father, please give me clarity of thought and of speech this morning. Pray that you'll give understanding ears to everyone who is under the sound of my voice, whether it be here or on live stream. Oh God, just please work in our hearts. Lord, help us to see what a great God you are and how you have taken notice of us because you want to save us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be seated, please. The first thing I want to look at here in verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That covers two amazing subjects there, eternity and the deity of Christ, of Jesus. Jesus existed from before the beginning. Now, I think we can kind of comprehend a little bit of eternity future because we all think we're going to last forever. But eternity past, can you get that one? That's a little harder to comprehend, isn't it? But it's still true. The world was from the beginning. The Word Christ was in the beginning. The Word had a being before the world had its beginning. Christ has always been in existence before the beginning of time. Now, there's an interesting thing there. Do you understand that time was created for this old world? It says in Genesis 1 through 5, it talks about that, how the Lord separated the light from the darkness. And it says, and the saw that this was good, and that I've lost it. I better look at it. Anyway, the morning and the evening were the first day. God created the sun and the moon to rule over the day and the night. And He broke it down to days. And then it's been broken down to years. And we can break it down to weeks and months and hours and minutes and seconds and microseconds and nanoseconds, however much you want to break it down. But it's still, those are all just factors of time. And God started it when He created the world. Because before then it was irrelevant. It wasn't there. And then in Revelation chapter 10 verse 6 it says, time shall be no more. Meaning in eternity, time is irrelevant. It's not going to be counted. The song Stephanie sang this morning, one of the verses of the original Amazing Grace is, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That's wonderful and it's a great thought. The problem is, there will be no 10,000 years. There will be that day when Jesus is the light of the world. So, Jesus coexisted with the Father, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was a distinct person, and yet He is God. Jesus is God. As God, He was the Creator of all things, it says in verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is God. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17 it says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Jesus is God, isn't He? Jesus is God. When we consider the Creator, Jesus is there. When you were created, Jesus was there. See, He is the reason you exist, because He's God. Everything is created by Jesus. Jesus is God simply, first of all, because He is. He is the great I Am. Secondly, He's God because the Bible says so. And if the Bible says so, that settles it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That makes Him there. Thomas, when he wanted to straighten God out about a thing or two, he said, I'll not believe that Jesus rose from the dead till I put my finger in the nails and put my hand in His side. When he was confronted with that a week later, Jesus said, Thomas, in my words, have at it. And what did he say? My Lord and my God. He didn't want to straighten him out. He only wanted to worship him. And when we see Jesus As God, we won't want to be asking a bunch of foolish questions. We'll want to fall at His feet and say, "My Lord and my God." And what a God He is. Jesus is God. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 8, He said, "Before Abraham was, He is." What a God. Jesus created us. Jesus gives life. But not only does He give physical life, He gives spiritual life. Verse 4. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. This morning in Sunday school, we started there into comprehending the law and grace. And that's kind of tough for some of us to differentiate. It's kind of tough for some of us to say that word. But by grace are you saved. Amen. And God wanted us to understand that it's by Jesus. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly." He came to give you eternal life. That's abundant life. 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life." John 10:27 and 8, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What a God. What a Savior. What a Lord. God provided a gift for you, and that gift is eternal life. Why did He do it? Because He's God and He wanted to, because He loves you. He did it just because He loves you. My oldest brother struggled with that thought of, well, why would, if Jesus is God, why would He let man kill Him? He didn't let them. He gave Himself in sacrificial death for you because He loves you. And He loves me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave Himself for you and I. Okay. Now, religion is full of ways to get to heaven. I didn't say the Bible, I said religion. And on, people can tell you how to get to heaven, and you can ask, if you went out and did a survey this morning of the folks that are sitting at home in their houses, if you ask them, "Are you going to heaven?" the vast majority would say, "I hope so. I hope so." And if you ask them, "Well, what do you base your hope on?" Well, and they would begin, "I've been baptized. I try to be a good person. I don't beat my wife too often. I don't steal from people that can't afford it." You say, "Well, preacher, that's kind of rationalized." Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They try to rationalize their way into heaven. So, if salvation is by God, don't you think we ought to look at God's way and see what He says it is? Do you think you could provide a better way of salvation than God Himself did? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus paved the way for our salvation. Yeah, but preacher, why did He have to do that? So that you and I could understand. Jesus became man so that you and I could understand that when He sacrificed Himself as a man, it was in payment for our sins. Back in our text in verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He gave Himself. And He wants you to understand that He gave Himself in penalty, or in payment for the sin penalty that you're guilty of. He gave Himself for you. Sin keeps us away from God. We refuse to accept the fact that Christ can take away our sins. And we do that because we're bound by our sins. Those of you who are saved, if you've ever been talking to someone maybe that's not saved, and they don't seem to really grasp it, it's not that they're dumb, folks. It's that the devil has blinded people's eyes. And we don't need to say, straighten up, although you may want to, but rather we need to pray to the Lord God that He will give them the light of understanding. And then once they have that understanding light, that they will humble themselves just like you and I did. If you're going to heaven, you humbled yourself before a holy God and said, God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. John chapter 3, on over a couple pages, verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. If you want to get in hot water today, go out and tell someone what they're doing is wrong. Sir, you should not be wearing ladies' garments. Or even worse, sir, you're not a lady. Boy, that'll really upset them. But did you know that standing against sin and getting in trouble for it is nothing new? Tonight, Lord willing, I want to preach on John the Baptist. That cost him his head. Hey, immoral behavior is wrong, and you, even as king, don't have the right to be immoral. And the old gal that he was shacking with says, I'll show him, and it cost him his head. It's nothing new. The creation that I just talked about, in the beginning, God, isn't it neat the way He sums it all up? He just says, I did it. In the beginning, I did it. And He did. The world has come up with this elaborate concoction that took billions and billions and billions of years that it just happened to be. And they call it evolution. And every scientific person believes in evolution. They say over and over and over again. Well, let me tell you something. If you ever took chemistry 101, you understand the order of all elements, and that didn't just happen. Chaos just happens. Order comes from a more intelligent, higher being. That means a creator. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I know that's a rather simplistic view of it, but folks, it's still right. We may want to make something real complicated and deep about it, but just God. Well, then why don't all those intelligent, and I'm saying very intelligent people, folks a lot smarter than me, why don't they agree with me? Because the devil has blinded their eyes. And they like it that way. They like it. They don't want to see the light. Because when the light comes, it shows evil deeds. This morning, if you're here, you may say, well, I'm a pretty good person, and I don't like him insinuating that I'm not. I'm not insinuating you are. I'm just saying flat out, you and I are sinners, and without the blood of Christ, we're going to go to hell. Amen. And not only are we going, we are going justly. That's exactly what we deserve. But we need a God who loves us, who paid the penalty for our sins. And if we'll accept Him and receive His light, we can be forgiven. And we don't have to go to hell for all eternity. Because you see, when time ends, when this old world ends, and it's going to, time will end, and it's going to, and whatsoever state we're in, we will be in that state for eternity. Now, to the saved, that's a wonderful, wonderful thought. The streets of glory for eternity. The presence of Jesus Christ for eternity. Worshiping God for eternity. What a wonderful thought. Amen? But if you enter into that timeless time, I don't know how to word that. When time is no more, if you enter into it without Christ, you will be in that state for all eternity in hell. That's a terrible thought. And time will be no more. You will stay in that eternal state forever, where there's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and ever and ever. And it will be because you refuse the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why people go to hell, is because they reject Jesus Christ. They say, I don't believe that. I don't think it can be that easy. Or, I don't need it. Or, I'm all right. None of those things will suffice, folks. We're sinners and we need Jesus and Him alone. Today you will leave here either lost or saved. Either with Jesus Christ, washed in His holy blood, forgiven by His great sacrifice for your sins and mine. You will either leave here saved, or you will say, I don't need that, I don't want that, I'm all right. And you'll be lost. And you will be in danger of entering eternity in that lost condition, where you will be eternally separated from the love of God and eternally under the penalty of your sins, which is hell. Oh, isn't that a terrible thought? No one would want that. So please believe. Please trust. When time ends, you will be in the eternal state forever that you're in when time ends. So what are you going to do with that sacrifice that God made for you? Will you receive Him as your Savior? Or will you, as the Bible says, receive Him not? Back in our text in John 1, it says there in verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." God wants to redeem you this morning. Will you receive Him? Or will you receive Him? Well, sometime, but not now. Oh, what a scary thought that is. What a scary thought that is. Do you realize your eternity can be just a moment away? I'm not going to give you scary stories, but the fact is, people die, and a lot of them die very unexpected, and we're not immune from that. Yesterday was my birthday, so that makes me think about old people, because I are one. But my baby brother said something this morning that kind of hurt. He said, "Do you realize that all us kids," meaning my older brother, my sister, and my baby brother, he said, "you realize all us kids are in our 70s? That's a pack of old folks." But I took great pleasure in the fact that we're all in our 70s now, but just in a year or so, we won't be, because my oldest brother will be in his 80s. Life is short. Death is certain. Eternity is sure and very long. And we need to prepare for it. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Folks, we need God to intervene in our lives. We need Him to give us righteousness. It's provided by Him. And if you don't have God's righteousness, you don't have His salvation. And the important part about the first aspect of this message this morning, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you're not saved. I don't want to preach my message, tonight's message, but then I kind of do too. But the fact is, John the Baptist doubted his salvation. What do you mean, preacher? He sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the one or not, if he was the Messiah or not. Well, let me tell you, if you don't know that Jesus is the Messiah, He is the Son of God, He is the Savior of the world, you can't be saved. And God didn't say, "You got to get saved again, John." He said, "Just show John, give him some reassurance, give him some love, give him some help, because, yeah, I'm the one. I'm the one. Show him again what's happening. Show him again who I am," that he could have assurance of his salvation. Preacher, how do I do that? I believe Jesus is God and stuff. So how do I do it? The Bible is so straightforward in that. God's plan is straightforward. It's not easy, but it's straightforward. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Oh, friend, I can't be saved for you. The Apostle Paul said he could wish himself accursed that his brethren might be saved. It wouldn't work. I can't go to hell for you. I can't pay for your sins. Paul couldn't do that either. And if he couldn't, I sure couldn't. But it's a personal decision that you make. Grandma can't make it. Daddy can't make it. Brother or sister can't make it. We can take all the pride in our children we want to, but our children have no bearing on our eternal state. We must do it personally. You have to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All on your own. All on your own. Eternity is real. God came to earth and sacrificed himself so you could spend it with him. Will you accept Christ today? That's all I'm saying. We're going to do what we call give an invitation. That simply means in a moment we're going to pray. Folks are going to come play the instruments and we're going to sing an invitation song. And during this invitation, we are inviting you, if you're here today and want to accept Christ as your Savior, to simply come, slip out of your seat, come and kneel at one of these altars, and we'll have someone trained in the Bible show you how you can go to heaven. It's that straightforward and simple. God made it as easy for you as He could. He went to the cross, He paid for your sins, and He gave you opportunity today to trust Him. Will you do it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your great love that you loved us. Thank you for the salvation that comes to every repentant sinner. When we ask you to forgive us, Lord, you do. And save our souls. Now, God, I pray for those who are here that aren't saved yet. Would you please touch their hearts? Give them the grace and the courage to slip out and come and trust you. Then, Lord, those of us who are saved, maybe some of us haven't been living like it and we're sorry. God, would you cause us to come and renew our fellowship with you, just tell you that we love you, and then act like we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God's deal with your heart. Come ahead. 243, Wounded for Me.
Wounded for me.
What will you do with the eternal Christ?
There on the cross he was wounded for me. God, my transgression.